99.9 FM W260 CV Racine and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. More Americans are home from Haiti, where gang violence is spreading.
We're finally reunited with Julian, our two-year-old son.
Philippe Armand, among a group of U.S. citizens who arrived in Florida last night. Officials say they're working overtime to get about 1,600 others out. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says a do-not-travel alert to Haiti has been in place for Americans since 2020. Now that hundreds of gangs threaten to collapse the central government in Haiti, Admiral Kirby says the U.S. cannot guarantee that all American citizens can be evacuated.
The White House has just announced the administration is forgiving another batch of student loans. This time, it affects about 78,000 teachers, police officers, and other public servants. CBS's Willie James Inman.
One of the unique ways that the White House is seeking to let people know who's responsible is by sending out an email, a note from President Biden himself, who's going to talk about the importance of this student loan forgiveness that those who are receiving it today.
There's a manhunt in Idaho right now for a white supremacist gang member and an accomplice who investigators say shot and wounded two corrections officers as they were transporting the inmate from a hospital in Boise. Responding police mistakenly shot a third officer, Police Chief Ron Winiger.
We believe that this was a coordinated attack, ambush on the Department of Corrections officers, and certainly a planned endeavor to free him from custody.
Last night, a Georgia man became the first to be executed in the state in more than 4 years. Willie James Pye died by lethal injection for the 1993 kidnapping, rape, and murder of his ex-girlfriend, Alicia Lynn Yarbrough's cousin, Ernetta Starks.
She was loved, she had family, and she was somebody.
One of the longest pre-trial detentions in U.S. history is over. Maurice Jimerson, who's been in jail for almost 11 years awaiting a new trial, has been released after an investigation by CBS's TV affiliate. He was arrested with four others for a double murder in 2013. His co-defendants were acquitted at trials. A jury couldn't reach a verdict in his case. A Major League Baseball star smarting from a massive ripoff.
Ohtani, a little blooper in the left. That's going to get down.
The Dodgers accuse Shohei Ohtani's interpreter of siphoning off millions. CBS's Lucy Kraft in Tokyo.
39-year-old Ipe Mizuhara was more than just a translator for Shohei Ohtani. The two were so close that Mizuhara had access to Ohtani's bank account and allegedly was able to embezzle $4.5 million to cover his illicit gambling debts.
The interpreter has been fired. S&P futures up 22. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station.
And tune in Thursday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're counting down to Armageddon, the fire sale at Trump Tower. Devil's Advocates Radio, 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have some rain and snow on the way tonight into tomorrow morning. We could get around 2 to 4 inches of accumulation here by the time it winds down later on Friday. Today, partly to mostly cloudy, 35. Snow tonight, 29. Rain and snow tomorrow, 38. With more rain and snow by next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Listen to the Earl Ingram Show Thursday at 9 a.m. for the Pharmacy Hour with Dr. Omar Eliwa. I'm Earl Ingram.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Sure, she'll stop farming when pigs fly. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
And welcome to a Thursday that's going to get interesting as far as Wisconsin weather is concerned. Hello, everybody. It's the fabulous farm babe Pam Youngke. A little alarmed at how this storm is changing direction and intensity. The latest updates I'm seeing from the National Weather Service have winter storm advisories out for basically all of the state of Wisconsin, from the Platteville area on up to Eau Claire, Green Bay, Milwaukee, and Madison suddenly has got kind of a target on it. And that's where the fabulous farm babe's Fanny is resting right now. They are now predicting that we could see in the Madison area anywhere from 1 to 6 inches of snow starting this afternoon into the evening and concluding into Friday. So if you were led to believe that all that warm weather we'd been enjoying was going to be status quo, surprise! Daytime highs today under cloudy skies expected to be right around 39 degrees. The winds should be pretty light during the day, but then they pick up starting in the evening. For Friday, we'll look for daytime highs right around 40 degrees, winds up to 15 miles an hour, so moving that snow around just a little bit. We'll find out about the consistency of that snow and a little bit more of a breakdown on who's getting what snowfall total-wise when Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, joins us in about 15 minutes. All right, we're going to put that on the back burner for a minute. Talking about dairy news this morning, yesterday we had the latest milk production figures released for the month of February, but you know what? It comes with a little asterisk next to it. Why? Because leap year is really goofing up the numbers. We'll talk with Matt Tranel, one of the dairy brokers with EverAg out of their Platteville office. He's joining us live this morning to tell us what he sees when you take away the leap year influence. And we're also talking this morning about the high demand this year for lamb and goat meat going into Easter. Again, it's all about the calendar and this leap year business. Charity Seebecker talking with one of our folks from the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative Barns about Ramadan overlapping on top of Easter and really driving up prices for lambs and goats. Oh, yeah. Not a dull moment around here. Hope you'll stick around for it all. It's that time of the year again. Time to enjoy an Easter ham. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Youngke here for my friends at Bavaria Sausage on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week online, BavariaSausage.com. I tell you what, if you haven't been in the store lately, step on in. It's got a whole new look, and that goes for what you're seeing in the showcase as well. Yes, the Easter hams are ready to go. You can place your order anytime, but also keep an eye on the display cases. New products being developed as we speak that combine the old world authentic flavor you've come to love along with some new product twist-ups that are being developed in the Bavaria Sausage Kitchen. It's exciting to watch and exciting to enjoy. Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, or again, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Experience a surprise. BavariaSausage.com. Tell them the Farm Babe sent you.
The Farm and Industry Short Course has wrapped up its first year in its new home at UW River Falls. The overall sentiment from faculty and students was that it was a success. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. We're highlighting one of the graduates today, Taylor Coles. He had wanted to be a dairy farmer since he was a youngster, but had no dairy experience until after his military career. That's when he started working part-time on a dairy farm and at age 34 decided to enroll in the Farm and Industry Short Course.
I sat down with the farm and kind of discussed the future after the course, and they were interested in employing me after. I decided to quit my job, go back to school for the short course, and follow my passion and finally get into the dairy industry. And everyone thinks I'm crazy for doing it, so I know I'm doing something right.
The fact that it's a short course made it applicable to you because you weren't willing to set aside life for 4 years.
Yeah, correct. I'm not that average or typical student. I wasn't 18 or 19. I'm 34. So I wasn't necessarily looking for a 4-year degree, getting out at 38, getting into the dairy industry. So for me, something quick, basics was something that really sparked my interest. And I don't think I would have gotten into the dairy world without it. So it was a perfect little setup for my situation.
What stood out to you the most after the 7 weeks of the fall, 7 weeks in the spring? What did you get out of the farm and industry short course?
My biggest thing was that it's very hands-on. So we'll have on Monday, we'll have a lecture on a certain procedure or a certain topic. And then the following class, it would be on the farm, in the field, using our hands, implementing what we learned from the classroom right there on the farm. From my understanding and getting to know everybody, most people that are into the farming industry really do well learning with their hands. So it was, you read it in a book, teacher showed you, and then they took you out to the farm, and then you went ahead and did it. To me, that was crucial. And then also the small class sizes. I think we had nine students, so you had questions, anything that you wanted to work on individually, all the professors were there to give you the time that you needed to succeed. The program's only going to get better from here. We were the first ones. We got to try some things. And
give me something you learned that you're going to take back to the farm.
I learned how to AI cows, artificially insemination. We got to learn that. And, that's just something that is a tool that you can bring back to a farm or to your family farm that maybe could save the farm some money, not having to pay someone to do it. You can do it yourself. And, it kind of can separate you from anybody else. It's just a great tool to have in the bag. And I would not have had it or had the opportunity if I didn't do the short course. So, and on top of that, you get to meet everybody in this industry. We worked with the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We got to, everybody, the professors at Madison, the professors at UWRF, the farms that we went and toured, they're all more than willing to help out. And, for me, it all stems coming from the short course. There's a lot of opportunity, and it's just not, you don't have to just think you have to milk cows for the short course. There's a whole other, world out there, too.
So is it safe to say you'll be recommending this program to other students?
Yeah, I've actually already recommended it. And I actually was doing a little pitch with some other students that are, juniors in high school that were wanting to know a little bit more information. I just happened to be by the booth and I was spitting knowledge to them. So I told them it was a great, great experience. And that, the great thing is if you weren't sure about college, if you're going in the industry and you if you feel like you know a good amount and you don't need the college, you can come do the short course and then it still counts as college credit. So if you wanted to come back and then do the 4-year and you decide you like college, you get those 4 or 5 credits, whatever it is, they carry on to your degree. If not, it's just a nice little certificate. Put it in your back pocket and you have it, and knowledge is power.
Taylor Coles taking some time with us, graduate of the Farm and Industry Short Course during its first year at UW River Falls. He says FISC gave him the tools he needed to live out his dream of working on a dairy farm and maybe farming on his own one day. Right after getting his certificate, he says he started recommending students to apply for the 2024-2025 course. Taylor's recommendations might be paying off because seats are filling up for next year. This is according to UW River Falls professor Steve Kelm. Steve says this year's class size wasn't what they expected, but it ended up being the perfect amount for the program to get established at River Falls and to make sure students like Taylor got the most out of it.
We had a total of 9 students, so we asked them for, feedback when we were about halfway through the spring. Just to see, okay, is there some things that you had hoped to cover that we haven't yet? And so there were a couple things that we were able to work in kind of at the end to make sure that they were a satisfied group. I think the best thing about it was they were all very positive about it and have recommended it to others in their home communities. And just an absolutely great group of students to work with from a broad range of background, ranging from some individuals had very little experience with dairy cattle but wanted more or were working on a farm, and so they were doing this to improve their skills for that job. Some came from family farms that had been in operation for years. Some were on operations that had expanded and were 600-700 cows. So again, just a real broad range of backgrounds.
you know, nine students, and it's not, you know, the attendance that we'd seen in years past. Was that okay?
For the first year, I think I was pretty happy that we had that, because there was a lot of things that we were trying for the first time. You know, we've run the four-year program, obviously, for years, but it's a different audience. And it's a difference when you have the four-year program. If you don't get a particular concept down, you know you're going to have another shot at it, you know, in a different class. This was pretty obvious that, okay, you got one shot at it. And so there were a lot of things that we were doing, and that small group really helped us this time, because we were able to give them a lot of one-on-one work with the animals, things like that. Now, for next year, so last year at this time, we hadn't started any applications yet, so we basically were at zero. We had stated at that time that we were hoping to be somewhere in that 20 to 24. Flash forward to a year later, we got a year under our belt. I'm happy to say that I've admitted 12 students for next year's first year one class. So I'm quite hopeful that we will continue to have, you know, student interest. I keep getting a lot of requests for information, and hopefully we can. I think 24 in a year one class is a good number, because we can break them up into a couple smaller groups for labs and some of that individual cow side care.
12 seats already filled for the 2024-2025 FISC season. Applications, we can find those online, right?
Applications, if you go to the River Falls website and in the search bar type Farm and Industry Short Course or just FISC, it'll take you to the page and there's an application right there.
You can listen to the full conversation with Professor Steve Kelm at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's where he goes into detail about some of the courses that they offered this year. But he also says it goes beyond the classroom. One of the main features of the Farm and Industry Short Course is that it allows the students to get a campus experience and get involved in the agriculture clubs and activities on campus. That's another area where he witnessed students getting value from this program. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
WRJN is pleased to support the Royal Family Kids Camp with a very special opportunity for you to be courtside when the Bucks play the Celtics April 9th at Fiserv. This four-pack of courtside VIP tickets is valued at more than $2,000 and includes parking. WRJN listeners can bid on these tickets online at WRJN.com/Bucks. The winning bid gets the tickets, and the entire amount supports Royal Family Kids Camp, a week-long residential camp for kids 7 to 11 years old who have been in and out of foster care, neglected, abused, or abandoned. Every camper has the opportunity to build friendships with other kids in the same situation and gain a lifetime of positive memories in the process. There is no cost to families. That's why this ticket action is so important. Your winning bid will help provide a great camp experience for several kids. Again, log on to WRJN.com/bucks to make your bid. And thank you from Royal Family Kids Camp and WRJN.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Coming up Thursday on Matt and Air On Air, public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lierley at 11:06. Then we talk sports balls with Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe. Don't miss it.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go.
This is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
It's a company called Denali, and they are working right now to try to get resources to those livestock owners specifically that were severely impacted by the wildfires.
This has been the largest wildfire event in Texas history. The fires in the panhandle have burned more than 1 million acres. They've killed thousands of livestock, and they've destroyed much of the hay and pasture that ranchers were relying on. Families have had their lives upended by this disaster, and the lack of feed makes rebuilding that much harder for them. So in response, we at Denali are working with our farming and trucking partners to deliver more than 700 round bales of hay to a Texas A&M livestock supply point in the panhandle. From there, the hay will be distributed to ranchers in need. And this donation is more than 385 tons of hay, which is enough to feed hundreds of animals for several weeks.
That guy is Sam Liebel with Denali, a company that's tried to coordinate some of that hay efforts down there. Stu Muckegg, meteorologist, coming back around with us. I mean, as farm kids ourselves, Stu, we know how devastating a barn fire is. Now just imagine, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of acres of the pasture you depended on, plus the livestock all being taken out of action. Quite a different weather scenario compared to us.
Yeah, you can't just clean it up with a skid loader and rough it out for a couple of days and it gets better. That's right.
Yeah. So we think about those folks as we get ready to kind of, like you said, prepare for our own little mini battle with Mother Nature.
Yeah, and, you know, it's March as well, and there's a little different angle to the sun in March, and temperatures are going to be heading back to above freezing after we get some snow, so it's not going to be a long-term major problem, but there is snow moving in, and almost all of us. I mean, there's a big stripe of winter weather advisory covering Wisconsin. With the exception of way up on the northern edge of the state into the UP, well, they're going to get some lake effect snows and everything after all of this. But all of us in Wisconsin, eastern Minnesota, northeast Iowa, northern Illinois as well, under that winter weather advisory, kicking in western Wisconsin 10 tonight till 10 a.m. Friday. For central and eastern Wisconsin, 1 a.m. tonight into 1 p.m. tomorrow. Low pressure is going to drop right off to our south. The system's still out in Montana and Wyoming. Radar still indicating snow. A little narrow band from northern Montana into central and southeast North Dakota, northeast South Dakota, and into western Minnesota, trying to push just across the Mississippi, south of Minneapolis, just trying to move into western Wisconsin. So there's going to be a little light snow initially to start us off. It will intensify later, and I'll talk about snow amounts right after this.
At Compeer Financial, we provide services based on your needs. So whether it's ag lending, crop insurance, or other financial services, or you're seeking industry expertise from a trusted advisor, we're here as a partner and member of your community that is defined by you. Contact your local Compeer Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 62 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 26th through the 28th at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on April 5th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form. That's now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
All righty, Stu, let's talk about this crazy weather coming our way. It's really going to depend on where you live.
It really does. And the winter weather advisory is, of course, going into effect tonight and into tomorrow. Cloudy skies expected today. I'm looking for mostly mid and upper 30s, not too bad. And winds that become more northeast at about 5. It's tonight that snow develops with cloudy skies. Upper 20s, southeast winds at 5 to 10. Clouds and snow tomorrow, still holding in the mid or upper 30s. East winds become north, 5 to 15. Some sun Saturday, but lower 30s. Snowfall-wise, Pam, western Wisconsin, 2 to 4, maybe a 5 here or there. And in the south, could be a little wetter, maybe a little rain in far southwest Wisconsin. A lot of 2 to 4s, though, I think, then from south into eastern Wisconsin. So we will have some cleanup. We can count on that.
All right. Thanks, Stu. Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree. You know, like, they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right, we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
it's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
CBS News Brief. Florida's carried out the first state-led rescue of U.S. citizens from gang violence in Haiti. On the flight, Philippe Armand.
It was very stressful. I can happily say it was a mission accomplished, and we're finally reunited with Julian, our 2-year-old son. The days were turning into weeks. The weeks were turning into months.
The Biden administration's just announced more student loan forgiveness. CBS's Willie James Inman.
Some 78,000 public servants, people who are teachers, who perhaps work in law enforcement, they'll see their student loans forgiven.
Nerves on edge in Idaho, where a manhunt is underway for a white supremacist gang member who escaped from custody during a hospital transport. Boise Police Chief Juan Winiger says the inmate and an accomplice shot and wounded two officers.
They are dangerous, they are armed, and they have shown a propensity for violence.
He says responding police mistakenly shot a third officer. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Oh.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former Milwaukee election official has been found guilty of election fraud when she used fake names to get multiple military absentee ballots. A jury found Kimberly Zabata guilty on Wednesday. They rejected claims by her attorney that she's a whistleblower exposing gaps in the state's voting system. She was basing those assumptions on proven false conspiracy theories stemming from the 2020 presidential election. She could go to prison for up to 5 years. Wisconsin is set to get new electric vehicle charging stations. Governor Evers signed a duo of bills making it easier for gas stations to open the charging stations and sending nearly $80 million federal dollars to help build them. The funding is designed to build vehicle chargers that can fully charge a car in less than an hour. The funding will support building 65 charging stations across the state. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks fell behind by 15 points and trailed most of the game. They got it to within 1 point with just a couple of minutes left to play, but the Celtics pulled away. Coverage on ESPN.
That will count. It's a three-point game, and that'll do it. Lillard finishes with 32. And the Celtics earned their 55th win of the season, leading the way for the Celtics tonight with 31.
The final, the Celtics 122, the Bucks 119. Boston now winning 10 games in a row at home. Giannis did not play again tonight due to a sore hamstring. The team comes home for a game tomorrow night. At Fiserv Forum, they'll host the Brooklyn Nets, followed by a Sunday night game against the Thunder and the Lakers next Tuesday night in prime time. Baseball, the Brewers had the day off. Tomorrow night, they take on the Giants in Arizona. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thursday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian Vince Moranto. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have some rain and snow on the way tonight into tomorrow morning. We could get around 2 to 4 inches of accumulation here by the time it winds down later on Friday. Today, partly to mostly cloudy, 35, snow tonight, 29, rain and snow tomorrow, 38, with more rain and snow by next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Welcome to Personal Touch by Julie, your trusted local experts in floral artistry and handcrafted arrangements for over 47 years. Enjoy the convenience of local area delivery, bringing beauty right to your doorstep, just in time for Mother's Day, prom, or graduation. But it's not just about the flowers. It's an experience that boasts unparalleled floral design stemmed from family traditions. Visit Personal Touch by Julie today at 5445 Spring Street in Mount Pleasant, where every petal tells the story of love and celebration.
People saw me and assumed I couldn't work. They only saw a disability, but I was ready to work. I am dependable, trainable, and productive. Then someone decided to believe in me and say yes.
And once you say yes, ThinkAbility Wisconsin will be there, providing transition and workforce support for people with disabilities and their employers to help shape a better future for all. It all starts when you say yes. Join the movement at thinkabilitywi.org.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A beloved Racine tradition is celebrating 50 years and will be bigger and better than ever in 2024. It's Salmon-O-Rama. The annual July event is moving back to the festival hall grounds for this year's special occasion. Organizers say there will be unique festivities to commemorate the anniversary of Salmon-O-Rama, including fireworks, music, food with a focus on Wisconsin traditions like cheese curds, and with more event space, additional activities and attractions throughout the 10-day celebration. This is also a big part of the city's goal to attract more people and activities to downtown Racine. Save the dates, July 12th through the 21st. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
Like to a former true. Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Because we know your barn smells like money. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Not a lot of breeze blowing through those barns on a Thursday. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. Yeah, it's pretty light winds expected for the daytime today. But then things start changing around dusk into the overnight hours. Tomorrow morning, Wisconsin is going to look different by all calculations. Today's daytime high is right around 39 degrees. The clouds are going to hang around, but winds are going to be pretty light. Then as we get into the evening hours, the winds are going to change direction, and that's when the precipitation starts showing up. Snow probably after midnight, 1 to 3 inches possible around the Madison area, probably a little lighter for most of the rest of Wisconsin. And then Friday into the morning hours, more snow going to continue. Like I said, suddenly south central Wisconsin looks like the target, anywhere from 1 to 5 inches of snow, maybe a little bit more in some areas expected in south central Wisconsin, lighter amounts towards the La Crosse area, lighter amounts towards like the Fox Valley, and probably lighter amounts along the lakeshore towards Milwaukee. I guess we're going to just wait and see how this one plays out. But the bottom line is prepare today for what you'll be living with tomorrow and really into the weekend, because now we're talking about Saturday being sunshine and 36, then more snow and rain on Sunday, 38, more showers on Monday to make a mess, 53, rain on Tuesday, 45. So we're going to turn into a mud pit here real quick across the state. Matt Tranel with EverAg down in Platteville is joining us live this morning. We got our Wisconsin milk production numbers for the month of February yesterday. You know, what's interesting is you've got to factor in leap year, and it's goofing up our milk production figures. I'll let Matt explain a little bit more and give us the clear story on Wisconsin milk and U.S. milk production. That's on the way. So today is the 21st day of March. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1952, the world's first rock and roll concert was held. They did it in Cleveland, Ohio. DJ Alan Freed presented the concert. But you know what? It was closed down after only one song because of overcrowding. First rock and roll concert, Cleveland, Ohio, on this day back in 1952. On this day in 1970, Earth Day was celebrated for the very first time. On this day in 2006, a guy named Jack Dorsey sent the world's first Twitter message or tweet. Now X. In 2012, they estimated about 340 million tweets were posted every day. That was 2012. And happy birthdays to actor Gary Oldman. He's 66. Matthew Broderick, Ferris Bueller. I bet he hates that. He is 62. And Rosie O'Donnell, 62 years young. And now you know. Well, we're getting ready. Easter is just around the corner, right? Some of us will be enjoying an Easter ham, but we have to remember that there are other cultures and religions that choose to celebrate a little differently. And that's really influencing the price that farmers are getting for lambs and goats. Charity Seebecker gives us an update.
As the calendar inches closer to Easter, the anticipation in the lamb and goat market is evident. With cultural and religious celebrations on the horizon, consumers are preparing to indulge in their traditional feasts, and we can expect the market to gear up for even more increased demand than usual. That's according to Abdullah Husseini, commodity broker for the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report, and he expects some changes in what consumers gravitate towards this year, with this year's demand actually being increased by not just Easter, but another holiday happening at the same time.
So Easter is coming up. You're going to see an increase in demand for the light lambs. Most of those light lambs are going to be used for Greek Orthodox Easter or Easter in general. Some of those markets are going to prefer your milk feds. And that what that means is anything that's 20 to 40 pounds. Otherwise, on the commercial side, people will enjoy leg of lamb as a dinner, or overall lamb demand is going to be higher. What's a bit different this year is Easter is coming up right in the middle of Ramadan. So Ramadan is also a market for increased lamb sales. That market also enjoys lamb significantly. And they're also in that lightweight of 60 to 80 pound animals. So we're seeing two different holidays coming into the mix. I've been seeing higher prices on those light lambs. Market lambs are trading around that 170 or so range, and the light lambs are going to fluctuate from that $2 to $3 range.
And when it comes to the driving factors of that, or any considerations when it comes to that supply-demand balance, when the fact that there are going to be two major holidays that are trying to supply this for, take me through how that's looking.
Well, right now, a lot of local Wisconsin guys are getting ready for lambing. Some of them have already lambed in barns in January, February, so it's fairly fitting in with the supply. We're going to see a little bit of a hiccup, I'm assuming, in this come summer. Feedlots out west seem to be a bit current. I was out there not too long ago, and they were killing fairly steadily and had feedlot inventory fairly steady. So what's kind of looking at is come summer, we're going to see some shortages of lamb on the shelf possibly.
Are there going to be any transportation issues when we are trying to get them out for these two holidays or anything like that that we should be aware of that you're seeing when it comes to this?
We do see a lot of imports from lamb from New Zealand and Australia. There are geopolitical aspects that are occurring currently, and that may impact freight coming into our U.S. demand here. But that dollar-wise, in comparison to what we're selling on the shelf for domestic lamb versus the imported lamb, is significantly cheaper than our current production here in the States. Their cost of production in Australia is lower. And if we were to see any increase on freight because of the ongoing conflicts, it might not be as substantial as competing with our domestic market. They're still going to be fairly lower on that price point.
And is there anything that our Wisconsin farmers should know about this?
So originally, Equity used to market primarily on the traditional market, and what that means is they're raising lambs to be around that 120 to 160 pound range for the commercial market. So larger lamb loins, racks, what have you, sit-down restaurant types of deals, anything you'll see in the Costco's, Walmart's, that type of product. Now what we're seeing at Equity specifically is a change in gears towards the ethnic side, especially in the past few years. Most of the lambs that are or goats are being marketed through our barns are ending up on that ethnic side. So anything from lightweights to heavyweights, anything that doesn't fit that traditional market that you would see on a shelf in a commercial setting is limited just because of the increase of demand and competition from the ethnic side.
That was Abdullah Husseini, commodity broker for the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. He's the one you want to go to if you have questions about marketing your lamb, as he has extensive knowledge in both commercial and ethnic marketing of sheep and goats. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Appreciate it, Charity. And, you know, I'm just looking at the market prices on the Equity Sales Barn website. They've got market lambs this week, $225 and down. That's per animal. Light lambs are at $180 and down. That was as of the 18th. Same thing for goats. Doe goats, $235 and down. Even the buck goats, $270 and down. So you see some of that holiday influence in the price that farmers will be paid for those animals, at least on the short term. Let's talk a little bit more about what's happening in the markets this morning. Everything positive right now. December corn and overnight trades up about a nickel at 479. November soybeans currently 8 cents stronger at 1208. July wheat's up a nickel at 565. Pretty quiet on the dairy front yesterday. Barrel cheese was down a half, 149 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 145. The AA butter that gained a penny and three quarters closed at 283 and three quarters per pound. Right now, we've got the April Class 3 milk. That's up 13 cents at 1630 a hundredweight. The May milk, that's up 13 cents as well right now, 1661 a hundredweight. So we got our milk production figures yesterday from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. You know how Wisconsin has been just kind of break even for the past number of months, and we've been paying attention to places like California, New Mexico, New York State when it comes to milk production. Well, the numbers looked kind of goofy yesterday when I saw the report, and then I found out why. Leap year. We're going to talk about that influence on the numbers and what the report really says. Matt Tranel, broker analyst in the dairy sector with EverAg out of Platteville, joining us live next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A beloved Racine tradition is celebrating 50 years and will be bigger and better than ever in 2024. It's Salmon-O-Rama. The annual July event is moving back to the festival hall grounds for this year's special occasion. Organizers say there will be unique festivities to commemorate the anniversary of Salmon-O-Rama, including fireworks, music, food with a focus on Wisconsin traditions like cheese curds, and with more event space, additional activities and attractions throughout the 10-day celebration. This is also a big part of the city's goal to attract more people and activities to downtown Racine. Save the dates, July 12th through the 21st. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station. I didn't, to the four
you drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here, noon to 2 on Thursday. Our old friend and author, Chris Pauls, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Trade on all commodities, all risk management at ever.ag. Matt, we're focused in this morning on the latest milk production figures that were released yesterday. You know, I got to tell you, at first blush, my eyes bugged out. I think they were projecting that milk production in Wisconsin was up like something close to 4%. I almost fell off my chair, but there was a reason why that number was so big.
Yes, this is always a report that you have to take a second look at because February in 2024 had an extra day. So you do have to adjust your numbers for the leap day. But when you look at the report just from first glance, the top headline within the report says milk production across the top 24 states, up 2.4%. Now, when you look at the entirety of the United States, it was actually 2.2%, and cow numbers were 10,000 head higher. But again, we do need to adjust this for leap day needs. And when you do that, milk production actually declined 1.3% from last year, which was actually a bit larger of a decline than what most of the industry analysts had estimated. And also it was sort of in line with what the January report was. We were down 1.2%. The cow numbers did increase by 10,000, and it was the single largest increase in about a year for cow numbers. And it was a little bit of a head scratcher as to where those cows were added. The two states, and the only two states to add cows, were Texas and New Mexico. And if we've kind of been paying attention to maybe some of the dispersal sales and whatnot, a lot of them have actually been coming out of New Mexico. So to see them up 3,000 head was a little confusing to me, but ultimately USDA does reserve the right to come back and make changes when more data is available to them. And so the 10,000 head that were added in those regions were actually an offset to what happened and what was taken away in February for the January report. So they must have been some new knowledge that was brought to them. So despite cow numbers increasing by 10,000 head, overall the herd is still down 89,000 head year over year. And it's something that we'll need to continue to monitor as production continues to wane into the future. So far, inventories have stayed strong, but if demand picks up, declining milk production is a big story.
Well, and you make a good point, Matt, about how this is a moving target because they adjusted the January milk production numbers, especially like for Wisconsin as well. What else did you notice maybe on a region by region? We've been keeping such a close eye on states like New Mexico. What did you notice this time around?
Yeah, so the regional data, most of it was the same, but there was a couple of regions that kind of piqued a little bit of interest. California was down 0.9%. That's not a surprise. The Midwest is still up 0.9%. That's not a surprise. But when you look at the Mideast numbers, it was the first time since 2022 that we saw year-over-year declines in milk production. So that was a little nugget that we pulled out of the report that we thought was of interest. Those particular regions do have a considerable amount of class 4 exposure, which milk prices are quite a bit higher than class 3. And so we would have expected to see continued gains in that particular region. But I think the big region of note is still the Southwest. New Mexico and Texas, specifically the Texas Panhandle, are struggling from a production standpoint, both from year-over-year standpoint, but also from this virus that seems to be going around. And I don't want to speculate too much on that because a lot still needs to be dug out of there. But I think the most interesting state in the Southwest on the report was actually Kansas, one that we don't necessarily talk about a lot. Kansas was actually down 3.7% in February. And despite having an extra day of production in February, that didn't really matter. Kansas was still down in production year over year. And they're a very important state, especially moving forward. There's a big processing plant that's coming to town in Dodge City, Kansas, that Hilmar plant. And the fact that we are growing capacity in Kansas, yet we have declining milk production in the state and neighboring states of New Mexico and Texas, it really makes you kind of wonder what's going to happen there and where all the milk is going to come from. So I think that is one that needs to be watched in the months ahead, as that's a big plant that's coming online. I mean, that's 8 million pounds a day of production. And if we're making year-over-year declines in that particular state, we'll see. But that piqued my interest.
Now, you bring up a good point. Have we noticed anything as far as milk movement today, Matt? I mean, you guys track semis and loads and so forth. Anything that caught your attention on that as we continue to try to tell this story?
So we've been hearing a little bit of milk moving from like the Mideast down to like the southeast part of the country, maybe a little bit out of the Midwest of various regions. But thus far, despite the massive disparity between class four and class three milk, there hasn't been as much movement as what maybe you would anticipate there to be. But certainly there has been some movement from the Mideast out to the down to the southeast part of the country. That's one we have heard of.
All right. Matt Trammell joining us live this morning. He is one of the dairy analysts on the team for EverAg. Now, although we focus on dairy primarily with Matt, the EverAg team is a great bunch of risk management folks that you can turn to. Find them online at ever.ag, ever.ag. Matt, my boy, I think we're out of time this morning. I could take an hour with you, but we'll have to let you go. All right.
Awesome. Thank you, Pam. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Matt. Matt Trammell again joining us live, like we said this morning, from the office down in Platteville. Platteville, interestingly enough, is probably going to be one of the areas in the state that picks up some of that measurable snow that's going to be coming our way starting as soon as this evening. Don't forget, WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org could use your contributions. See you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 go. AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
A series of free resources to potentially save lives. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Next week is Stand Up for Grain Safety Week, with daily online presentations to address occupational safety for farmers and others doing potentially hazardous work. Kadrian Livingston's day job is regional safety manager for the Omaha-based grain, food, and feed marketing company, Viterra. But when she was just 10 years old, her father, Craig, was killed in a grain bin incident in 2008 while helping a neighbor.
Dad had been a rancher his whole life, and in Nebraska, farming and ranching is very, very different. My dad didn't know the dangers, the way that grain can take you, what we call the quicksand of the Midwest. The auger had quit working, and so he was having to grain back the rest of the grain out. There were about 500 bushels of grain left when he was in the bin, and there was only one other guy with him, a trucker, and the trucker had stepped away to go move the truck forward to finish out filling the truck, and when he came back, all he saw were my dad's hands.
Livingston also consults on the subject of worker safety and continues to work on the family cattle operation as well. There's more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This is Don Rosen. Come join me for local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN, Hometown Radio, refreshed.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A beloved Racine tradition is celebrating 50 years and will be bigger and better than ever in 2024. It's Salmon-O-Rama. The annual July event is moving back to the festival hall grounds for this year's special occasion. Organizers say there will be unique festivities to commemorate the anniversary of Salmon-O-Rama, including fireworks, music, food with a focus on Wisconsin traditions like cheese curds, and with more event space, additional activities and attractions throughout the 10-day celebration. This is also a big part of the city's goal to attract more people and activities to downtown Racine. Save the dates, July 12th through the 21st. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine. 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine. And 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.